talking people, but I can tell you people, they were the devil's children. Bonnie and Clyde began the evil doing one lazy afternoon down Savannah way. They robbed a store and hightail out of the town, got clean away in a stolen car, and wait until the heat died down.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's Michael Herzog and the American Awakening coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. And it is Wednesday, May the 3rd, 2017. You might wonder why I'm using that as intro music. I'll tell you why in just a minute. I thought it was kind of funny. But anyway, before I get into that, for those of you who go into the chat room at Chatango, if you do me a favor first, try my chat room at theamericanawakening.org. My webmaster says it's working. I can't get it to work on my end, but maybe you can get it to work on your end. But anyway, if you would do so, please just go into my chat room first at theamericanawakening.org. If that doesn't work, then go ahead and try theamericanawakening.chatango.com. But hopefully it'll work okay, and everything will be fine. Now, let's see. Oh, a little word about last night's show. My website went nuts with Phil McConnell as my guest. Phil McConnell has already taken the archive of this show. He sent me an email of it. Looks like he put it up on YouTube, which is phenomenal, because I had a conversation with my webmaster, Brian, earlier today, and we were talking about different ways to improve the hits on the website, improve my status out there in the public venue. This is a kind of a new thing for me. I've never done it before. I was always kind of behind the eight ball when it comes to that, because I'm not all that technically savvy, as my webmaster will tell you. But if you got somebody like him, then it's okay, as long as you can decipher the language of IT-ism. Okay, which I'm not real good at. It's like learning to speak Chinese. But, you know, other than that, that's okay. So, that being said, let's get into the program. Now, I have to say, Charles Manson never killed anyone directly. All the murders of which he was implicated were carried out on orders from Charlie, but he himself never pulled a knife nor pulled a trigger. Now, question: what, if anything, separates Charlie from Hillary and Bill? After all, it looks as if there are at least 15-fold more deaths surrounding the Clintons than Charles Manson. Now, Charlie is in prison for life, and yet the Clintons still walk free. Now, I'll pose this to you as well. If one believes in reincarnation, who better to compare with such a resurfacing of Bonnie and Clyde than with Hilly and Bill? Let us now take a trip down memory lane, not necessarily in chronological order, but simply to compare the voluminous coincidences surrounding these two, shall I say, and I understate, controversial figures, okay? Now, this comes from, believe it or not, Michael Rivero's website, whatreallyhappened.com. But I'm going to go through, as I said, in no chronological order, and I'm going to do it a little bit differently, because I'm going to share with you some of the weirdness about the people that have been disappeared, suicided, or whatever. And I'm going to go through them one by one, okay? And I'm going to start with a fellow talk show host by the name of Victor Thorne. Now, a lot of you probably know who Victor was. Victor was a talk show host with, I can't remember his co-host's name now, but they did shows for several years. And on his 54th birthday, which was August 1st of last year, while writing the book The Murder Volume, documenting all the people they'd killed over the years, the Clintons, stemming out of Little Rock, Arkansas, covering up the MENA drug operation, just 3 months prior to Election Day, in the middle of his writing, his career that included the published book Hillary and Bill, the sex volume, well, he allegedly committed suicide by shooting himself in the head at the top of his driveway. And Victor had recently, beforehand, said on Russell Scott's talk show, his talk radio show, that if he was ever found dead, it would not be a suicide. Now, I've heard that before. I heard that on Alex Jones' show with Deborah Jean Palfrey, if any of you heard that show. But interestingly enough, even further than that, his family was quick to say, oh, no, Victor was just tired of living and blah, blah, blah. No, I don't think so. And there's another, I can't remember who it was, that said, you know, if one might be a coincidence, two people affiliated might be a coincidence, but when you get beyond two, the evidence starts to build up that there's something really, really amiss going on here. So let me go to number two. Donald Joe Adams died January 7th, 1997. He was age 55. Now, long before Whitewater's land flips made the Clinton circle of friends rich, many of those same players had been involved in a similar land swindle in Branson, Missouri. Don Adams was a lawyer in Arkansas who got involved in trying to help the people who were being swindled out of their life savings. He was found in a hospital parking lot after having been missing for 5 days, and he had been shot to death. Now, again, this was the attorney that was involved for the plaintiffs in that case. Now, number three, you might recall, this guy was the former president of the UN General Assembly. His name was John Ash. He was awaiting trial on bribery charges when he turned up dead in June. Last June, ruled a suicide. They claimed that he crushed his own windpipe. He had been called to give testimony by the Justice Department regarding his knowledge of the Clintons taking bribes from Chinese businessman Nig Lap Sing. And 2 days before his testimony was to begin, and I believe, don't quote me on this, folks, but I believe the Department of Justice had made a deal with him to give him immunity for testifying against Hillary Clinton. He was found dead as a result of his weight bar falling on his throat and crushing his larynx, despite the fact that, and this guy was a husky man, despite the fact that he regularly worked out and had never had any kind of issue like that before. Now, that's three, okay? I got a long way to go, folks, because what I'm doing is I'm bringing this to the forefront of our memory banks here about who these people really are. Number four, Robert Bates died from an overdose of, get this, folks, you think, well, maybe it was ricin, maybe it was anthrax. No, no, no. No, it was an overdose of mouthwash. Now, this Robert Bates was Barry Seal's aircraft mechanic. And the local authorities called it a homicide, but there was, interestingly enough, no investigation. Now, there's an excerpt taken from an interview conducted by Marvin Lee of the Washington Weekly. When Marvin was interviewing Terry Reed, now Terry was a pilot and a subcontractor for the CIA and the Iran-Contra operation in Mena, Arkansas back in the 1980s. And during this work, he discovered that airplanes flying weapons south to the Nicaraguan Contras returned to the United States with cocaine in it, as described in his book. The book is called Compromised. Compromised, Clinton, Bush, and the CIA. Let's see. Bill Clinton's chief of security, Buddy Young, fabricated evidence of insurance fraud with an airplane that was stolen from Terry Reed. Now, the case against Terry Reed was dismissed from federal court, and the judge complained that it had, and I quote, a high odor to it, unquote. According to Mr. Lee, you said on the Chuck Carter show a few weeks ago that one of your witnesses had died. Can you elaborate on that, Mr. Reed? Yes, we had a witness I had developed. His name was Robert Bates. Bates was a mechanic at the Mena Airport, a 39-year-old mechanic and a person who had come forward voluntarily to assist me in some of our investigative efforts as we put together our evidence and witness list for the trial. It's been about, well, I assume it's been about 5 weeks ago that Mr. Bates turned up very mysteriously dead, having allegedly drunk himself to death on mouthwash. I have to laugh every time I read that, which I find very strange behavior. He says, I have talked to other people in the Mena area, and Mr. Bates is from a different or a very affluent family, and this was very unusual behavior. I still don't buy off on the results from the autopsy. His body was shipped to Little Rock to have an autopsy performed, and of course they found evidence of this fluid in his stomach, which they claim led to his untimely death. The stories that they make up, as I go through some of these folks, I hope you get a laugh out. I mean, it's not funny because these people are obviously suicide. They're killed, they're beat up, they're decapitated, some of them. And it's not a funny situation, but the list, the laundry list is a mile long. Now, back in 1994, you remember Gandhi Bagh, B-A-U-G-H? Gandhi was representing Dan Lassiter in a case involving financial misconduct, and Lassiter would later be arrested for drug charges. Now, Lassiter was a close friend and advocate of the Clintons while Bill was the governor of Arkansas. And Gandhi's law partner also allegedly committed suicide 1 month later. Now, this comes out of the Motley Fool newspaper, or the magazine Motley Fool. The trouble with Gandhi Bagh, attorney for Obama, friend Antonin Resko, died by falling out of an 18-story window of the Hancock Tower January of 2003. His client was a convicted Chinese spy. So the trouble with Gandhi Bagh is that the Clintons already had him bumped by the same odious pushed out of a tall building ploy. Resko, that guy was hooked up with Barack Obama in some Chicago land or apartment deal, if I remember correctly. But going further, in number six, in 1996, instead of testifying against the Clintons' plan to downsize the Navy, Admiral Jeremy Borda decided to go home and shoot himself twice in the chest with two different guns. According to the state-controlled media, a suicide from controversy surrounding wearing a V device on one of his Navy awards. That's what they said happened. It was a suicide from a controversy surrounding wearing a V device on one of his Navy awards. The truth is that he was murdered around the time of his death. News fakers reported that Borda left two typed suicide notes, one to his family and one to the Navy. Neither note has been released, although retired United States Army Reserve Major Glenn McDonald presented the contents of one. The problem with the suicide notes is that they are unsigned, as in the case of Vince Foster, meaning that Borda did not write them. Now, there's much more to this, but you get the idea. And then we go into the interesting case of Ron Brown, and this goes up to suiciders 7, 8, and 9. Ron Brown, the former DNC chairman, was killed in 1996 in a plane crash on his way to Bosnia. And a week later, his attorney was killed by a gunshot. The aircraft controller overseeing his flight allegedly committed suicide. Out of WorldNet Daily, and I quote, "Here's what we know for sure about Ron Brown's last days. To protect his son Michael from prison, Ron Brown had threatened to expose the White House's yet unrevealed fundraising scheme in which Brown played a major role. And just weeks before his death, Brown starts going to church for the first time in his life and was scared for his life and that of his confidant, Nolanda Hill." Number 10, James Bunch, who had a blacklist of VIP Johns in Arkansas at the time Bill was governor. James allegedly shot himself, and mysteriously his book and all the pertinent documents vanished. Number 11, Eric Butera had information on Mary Mahoney's death. Now, this is an individual of whom I will get to later, but Eric was sent into a crack house on an alleged sting to buy crack cocaine for the police. The crackheads allegedly beat him to death, and Eric's mother was awarded $100 million for this, but a judge later cut that settlement down to $1 million. Number 12, Satano Karani died in 1994, right after he'd filmed a shooting at the White House. He conveniently died just before testifying, and afterward, all of his film mysteriously disappeared. He allegedly died from food poisoning. Now, another interesting gentleman, which I'm sure you've probably heard the name, this is number 13, Danny Casalero. Danny was working on a project called The Octopus. which was involved with the software called Promise. That's the software that the U.S. government had stolen from a private company that installed backdoor software of which to spy on people's financial transactions. Danny stumbled upon some people who were making a fortune off the Iran-Contra affair and was writing a book which was about to expose all these people and their illegal financial connections. He was found in a bathtub with both his wrists slit, but the problem was the first wrist also had all the tendons in his arm slit, so by himself cutting his second wrist would not have been possible. Still, it was ruled a suicide. Berta Caceres, though healthy, mysteriously died in her sleep on March the 3rd, 2016, just last year. She had been claiming Hillary Clinton, then Secretary of State, okay, was responsible. Well, Hillary was Secretary of State back in 2009, but Berta Caceres was claiming that Hillary Clinton was responsible for the 2009 Honduras coup that overthrew President Zelaya, which has turned Honduras into one of the most dangerous places on the planet. Now the next one's a good one, and I'm gonna elaborate on this one a little further because I have I've attached newspaper articles, and this is one of them. This guy used to be the head of the CIA, William Colby. Colby mysteriously drowned on April 27th, 1996, and according to the reports, he had evidently got up in the middle of dinner. Dinner was on the table, half eaten, and decided to go paddle his canoe. Now, he was found in the water floating close to the canoe with no life jacket, and witness accounts of the timeline, along with testimony of a phone call to his wife, completely fly in the face of how and why they'd find him 9 days later dead in the water in his canoe. Now, give me a second here. Give me a second here. I'm going to pull this up and share with you, maybe not all of it, but I'm going to share some excerpts with this because I thought this very interesting. This is an article about the alleged Colby suicide. The former director of the U.S. intelligence agency was alone at his weekend house across from Cobb Island, Maryland, 60 miles south of Washington, D.C. Now, Colby was 76 years old. He had worked all day on his sailboat at a nearby marina, putting it in shape for the coming summer. And after he got home from the marina, Colby called his wife, Sally Shelton, and she's a high-ranking State Department official who was in Houston, Texas, visiting her mother. He told her that he had worked hard all day, and he was tired, and he was going to steam some clams, take a shower, and go to bed. Now, Colby made a phone call at 7 p.m., he was seen a few minutes later by two sets of witnesses in his yard watering a willow tree. One of the witnesses was his gardener, who dropped by to introduce his visiting sister. His two next-door neighbors saw him at the scene from their window, and after he finished watering the trees, he went inside and had dinner. Now, the witnesses saw him at 7:15 p.m. The sun set at 7:57 p.m., 42 minutes later. When he was found dead in the water, 9 days later, it was said that he had gone out paddling his canoe at nightfall and drowned. Now, this writer says he was in Paris when he read the story in an International Herald Tribune. He knew William Colby, and he didn't believe that for a second. Goes on to say that he considered Colby a friend, not a close friend. He didn't have any friends or close friends that he knew about outside of his family. But Colby was a polite man who was open and approachable, but without much of a sense of humor or an inclination to introspection. He communicated human interest rather than human warmth. He was not very physically impressive, and at the bottom he was a shy man. That's the way that this writer saw him. He described himself to me as someone who couldn't easily get the attention of a waiter in a restaurant, yet he was strong and determined in everything he did. I hear the break coming up, folks. I'll be back at 3. I'll continue with this. Many more of these to come. Some very, very strange situations. Stick around.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. And Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. I want to take a pause for just a couple of minutes here and remind you, if you're enjoying the programming on this network, folks, and I'm not asking for a lot, I'm asking every listener to kick in $20. Or if you, you know, if you feel generous and you got an extra 100, kick in an extra $100, kick in $50. I want to thank the listeners out there who have donated. You know, the last time I was at the network, which was 2.5 years ago, the equipment there was very antiquated, and if you recall, I think the fellow's name's Tom in Philadelphia, drove all the way down and went through every computer and fixed it, but they're still old and they need to be replaced. And you know, we're trying to take some pressure off of John, because he's under a lot of stress, folks. So, you know, I'm asking you as a favor to me, you know, to donate, and if you do, just send your check or money order or cash in a you know, cellophane or whatever it is to 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or you can call in 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. And I was talking about hitting the PayPal button, but if you hit the PayPal button, they don't know where the donation comes from. But as I'm finding out, right at this point in time, this campaign was supposed to have kicked off May the 1st, by all of the hosts on the network. And I started it on April 27th. And as of today, May 3rd, I haven't heard one other host on the network mention it. So if you hit the PayPal button, they're going to know it came from me, because these other hosts, I don't know whether it is that they feel it is interfering with their show or what they're thinking here, but they owe it to put their stories out on the network, to have the airtime that John so graciously gives them, to give him back a few minutes and help the man out. That's what I'm doing. Yes, it interferes with my show, but it's no big deal, okay? And it's as big a deal, folks, as it is for you to dip into your pocket and pull out 20, 50, 100 bucks and throw it the network's way. You'll be doing a great service to the network. That's all I'm going to say about that, okay? I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time talking about this, folks, because you know the network, you've known it for a long time, and you know it's in need of new equipment, it's in need of giving John the break. Employees of RBN are just the stellar, most professional people that you'd ever want to meet, and you know, folks, they need to get paid as well. So you know, I'm just asking very humbly to everybody out there, just dig into your pocket and kick in. You know what, if you go and drink a Monster, or you're drinking coffee every day or whatever, quit for a week or 2 weeks or whatever. Take the money that you would have done with that and send it off to RBN. Please, for the sake of John, do that, okay? All right, I'm going to stop there. I'm going to get out of this, and I'm going to go back to where I was with William Colby. I'm not going to read all of this stuff, but it's interesting that the way he died is my only point. There was something in this article. Oh, here we go. The murder scene. Cobb Island was 60 miles south of Washington, and on the way to Colby's house, this writer had stopped to talk to Sheriff Fred Davis, the Charles County Sheriff's Department. They were responsible for the investigation, and Davis admitted that it was not an open and shut case. He said there's always a window open because there was no witness. But just by all of the parameters and the evidence or lack thereof, it stunk to high heaven. The last person to talk to Colby, let's see, that was Carol Wise. Let's see. Based on what was it? No, never mind. I'm not going to go there because it's not that big a deal. But this is a much longer article than I thought, folks, and I'm not going to go into it. So let me just get back to. Let's see, I'm going to skip that one then and go to number 16 and 17. When Bill Clinton was Attorney General of Arkansas, oh, this is interesting. When Bill Clinton was the Attorney General of Arkansas, he allegedly had an affair with a 26-year-old by the name of Susan Coleman. At 7 months pregnant, she supposedly committed suicide by shooting herself twice in the back of her head, killing both her and the unborn baby. Bottom of the hour break. We'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from the Valley of Suns. Stick around. Many more coincidences and suicides or suicideds to come. Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
The new word on the street is bloated. Yeah, you eat this food, GMO, herbicide, pesticide. Foods aren't safe anymore. And then we eat them, and we're bloated. Our stomach says, no, no, no more, Seymour. So what we have to do is drink the tea. Are you on the tea? GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Super strength tea. It will help you with the new word, bloated. You can get it today. Log on to GetTheTea.com.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
This is Elizabeth McCabe, a.k.a. Lucky One of Truth Frequency News. I wanted to tell you all about Extendivite from HeartDrop.com. Y'all know I check everything before I air it. When I heard about Extendivite on TFR, I went to HeartDrop.com and started my research. It's got cayenne. That's good for blood and circulation. It stimulates the blood flow. It's got garlic, which fights bacteria like antibiotics, and it lowers the cholesterol and blood pressure. It also has milk thistle, which is the best detox for liver. I couldn't wait to try it out, and I'm glad I did 4 months ago. And here's obvious results. My hands and feet don't get cold anymore. The varicose veins have faded too. My wrists don't hurt after typing all day. Now, I tell you all this because it's true and I want you to really live life. Try Extendivite. Go to heartdrop.com and order it.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. This alleged affair with 26-year-old Suzanne Coleman, she was 7 months pregnant, supposedly with Bill's child, and they deemed her death a suicide by shooting herself twice in the back of her head, killing both and her unborn baby. Now, the next two, number 18 and 19, are both train death witnesses, and I'll talk a little bit more about the train deaths here in a little while, but... Number 18, Gregory Collins died from a gunshot blast to the face that they deemed a suicide. And number 19, Keith Coney was chased down on his motorcycle and killed in what was later ruled a traffic accident. Both of these guys were going to testify regarding that death on the tracks incident in Mena, Arkansas. Number 20, L.J. Davis, who was investigating the Clinton scandals, was killed in his Arkansas hotel room, and his notes were all stolen, and it was deemed a suicide. Number 21, David Dry was killed in a 1999 plane crash while attempting to produce the Clinton Chronicles, of whom other people, such as Larry Nichols, have either been attacked, threatened, or killed. Number 22, David Dutko, the Democratic National fundraiser in charge of the inflow of money from China. He accidentally dies in a bicycling accident where he allegedly fell off his bike and struck his head. not once, but twice. Numbers 23, 24, 25, 26, and 27 include five Navy operators that died in a Navy Hawkeye airplane crash off the coast of Italy after their plane was waved off from landing on an aircraft carrier. Now, all five of these were Clinton bodyguards on Clinton's trip to the Roosevelt aircraft carrier the week before. And interestingly, yet another aircraft crashed shortly thereafter containing the other three bodyguards that accompanied Clinton to that same aircraft carrier. Now, I have a good idea as to why, because from what I've heard, Clinton loves to run his mouth. And I'm sure that all these guys were very close or, you know, was in the contact with Clinton when Clinton was bragging stories about some of his victims, if you will, or his sexual conquests. But number 28, Herschel Friday, he was a Clinton fundraiser and an attorney from Arkansas, died when his small plane crashed on a dusk approach to a private airfield he had used very often before. The runway was illuminated, flying conditions were by no means poor, and Friday was an experienced pilot. And then, of course, we have number 29, Vince Foster. We all heard about him. One of the most well-known Clinton victims grew up with Hillary in the same town. He was a partner of hers in the Rose Law Firm in Arkansas. Foster was about to testify before Congress regarding the Clinton finances, of which he had intimate knowledge, and he was found dead in a park with a questionable unsigned suicide note. His office was broken into and raided, and all the paperwork disappeared that same day. Then we have number 30 through 38. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Aldo Francoia was a Secret Service agent. He was the agent in charge of arranging all of Bill Clinton's trips. Corporal Kevin Ernest, Captain Kimberly Weilhauer, Second Lieutenant Benjamin Hall, Sergeant Michael Smith Jr., Senior Airman Rick L. Merritt, Staff Sergeant Michael R. York, Airman Billy R. Ogston, and Airman Thomas C. Stevens, all who died on their C-130 while carrying the presidential limos. To my knowledge, no explanation has ever been concluded for the cause of that crash. Deaths number 39, 40, 41, and 42. Four Marine pilots who flew constantly with Bill Clinton died when their V-22 Osprey aircraft crashed, killing 15 other people on board as well, some of which piloted the presidential helicopter. Now, when the plane mysteriously caught fire in midair on April 8, 2000, the crash was originally blamed on pilot error. And then later, the decision was reversed by the Pentagon. Most of the occupants had close ties with Clinton in either piloting him via airplane or helicopter in the past. Number 43, Kathy Ferguson was a witness in the Paula Jones case. She had packed her bags to go on a trip, then mysteriously shot herself. She was also married to the Arkansas State Trooper Danny Ferguson that allegedly used to bring women to Bill Clinton to have sex with. Ferguson would then stand watch while Clinton had sex with the women. Kathy, the wife of Danny, was going to testify against Bill. Her bags were found packed inside of her house, and she decided instead to shoot herself in the head. It was declared a suicide. Number 44, Duane Garrett. A talk show radio host and big-time Democratic fundraiser who defrauded people, he told friends he was going to meet some folks at an airport, and then later he was found floating under the Golden Gate Bridge a few hours later. There are many rumors that he had information on the fraudulent fundraising by the Clintons. And by the way, number 45, do you remember the controversy about Obama not saluting the officers when exiting the presidential aircraft? Mainstream media had some, I remember reading a couple of those. Well, Bill Clinton saluted them properly. Corporal Eric S. Fox, another of those to fly with Bill, was shot in the head, and of course, it was declared a suicide. Corporal Fox was one of the guys that flew with Bill Clinton that would stand outside the helicopter. Clinton would get off the helicopter and salute Eric Fox. But Eric, unfortunately, was one of those same guys who would sit in the same helicopter or next to Bill Clinton, and Bill Clinton would rattle on and brag braggadociously and bombastically about his sexual conquests with women. Number 46. On April 28th of 2000, Carlos Gigliotti was hired by the House Committee on Government Reform to investigate the events of the Waco massacre. Now, Carlos was an infrared tech expert, and Carlos submitted his findings in a report showing that indeed the FBI had actually fired shots with infrared pointers into, not exiting, the building. The FBI refuted the statement and said that the shots were holes or there was something else. Now, unfortunately and conveniently, shortly after submitting his findings, Carlos dies of a heart attack, something they reported later, quote, ran in the family, unquote. The committee thereupon issued statements that he had never given them a report, that they were about to fire him, and that essentially disavowing everything to do with him. They totally distanced themselves, and they tried to blackball him. There was one problem with that story, however. Carlos had faxed reporter David Hardy the report right after he gave it to the committee and briefed its staff. He found there were indeed gunshots. In fact, he pieced together the encounter. Carlos told Hardy that as he played and paused the video for the congressional staffers explaining what they were seeing, Carlos told Hardy they looked like they were sucking on lemons. Conveniently died of a heart attack, but that just runs in the family, folks. And then the congressional committee tries to disavow everything he says and say, oh, they were going to fire him because they didn't trust him and he didn't know what he was talking about after he'd already faxed the report to a reporter. Busted. He's still dead, though. Number 47, former penthouse model Judy Gibbs was a Bill Clinton call girl. She was in the porn industry, and then she later turned model, and she had modeled for Penthouse magazine, among others. And Bill would brag about her to his pilots when they flew over her house. Her sister Martha had stated Judy had pictures of Judy with Bill. Now, to likely keep from causing controversy on Bill's political rise, she was knocked unconscious in her home, and the home was burned to the ground with her in it. An unfortunate accident. Numbers 48, 49, 50, and 51. Another mysterious helicopter crash contained four other former Clinton bodyguards. It killed Staff Sergeant Haney, Marine Sergeant Sable, Major Barkley, and Captain Reynolds. The crash site was covered up, and all of the documents contained, if there were any, were destroyed. Many writings have come out since then pointing to a government cover-up, but there's never been any proof. These deaths span over, let's see, what would be 86, 96, 06. These deaths span over 40 years, folks. The Clintons have been around that long, and all of these people were mysteriously, either directly or indirectly, most of them directly, connected to the Clintons. We're all familiar with number 52, journalist Michael Hastings. Michael Hastings was investigating Benghazi and the role Clinton played in it. His Mercedes was likely hacked, and it hit a large tree at approximately 100 miles per hour. CIA former contractor and whistleblower Dennis Montgomery, of whom you've heard me speak about on previous shows, took documentation and gave testimony to James Comey in 2014 that the CIA indeed had and has the capabilities to hack any vehicle they wished after a certain model year. I'm not sure exactly what that year is. I'm thinking it's like 2000 or 2001, something like that. And according to radio interviews on record with Infowars.com and others, Detective Mike Zullo has stated that James Comey has buried Dennis Montgomery's testimony. In that testimony, it was discovered that the CIA has the capabilities to hack a vehicle. They can take control, just like Field McConnell said like last night with that Boeing uninterruptible autopilot. Okay, the CIA has the same capabilities with automobiles. They can take control of the automobile and do anything they want, and the driver of the automobile has absolutely no control. Number 53 and 54, Stanley Hurd and his attorney Steve Dixon, who got into one plane, it took off, had issues, then landed. They got into a new plane, took off, this second plane crashed, killing the guy who served on their health care advisory committee and also treated all of the Clintons' health issues. Oh, I'm sure Stanley would have had much to tell us on the Clinton health. Well, Steve, he was sadly just another byproduct. Now, here's an interesting one here. Number 55, John Hillier, an NBC cameraman, had been working on an investigation of a drug smuggling operation in Mena, Arkansas, while Clinton was governor. He had also helped with a 30-minute video called Circle of Power, and he was involved with the Clinton Chronicles, put together by Larry Nichols and others. Hillier mysteriously died of a heart attack in his dentist chair, even though he was perfectly healthy. Number 56, Stanley Huggins had been a partner with Hillary Clinton when he was a lawyer and was investigating the collapse of Madison Guaranty Savings and Loan, which Hillary was representing and had a 300-page report ready to go. When he flew up to a Northeast university, checked into his dorm room only to die of viral pneumonia shortly thereafter. The Clintons ordered Janet Reno to seal the hospital records of Huggins from his widow. That's interesting, is it not? Seal the records, Janet Reno. We don't want his widow seeing anything about what led up to his death. Number 57. Remember journalist Sandy Hume, the son of Britt Hume, who was investigating how the Clinton White House sued or used journalists to dig up damning information on their critics, and was an investigative journalist highly critical of the Clinton White House. Sandy Hume died of a gunshot wound, and it was ruled a suicide. And coincidentally, Dr. Alan Berman, the same doctor ruling Vince Foster's death a suicide, he made the claim, and all of the records on Sandy Hume's death have been sealed. Now let's go to the train deaths. Number 58. The first individual, Kevin Ives, had his skull crushed and then his body run over by a train, and all for the possibility that he may have seen the drop site of the Mena, Arkansas drug operation, part of the Iran-Contra affair. There was a string of other deaths later to keep the murder of Kevin quiet. Killed with Kevin Ives was, number 59, Don Henry, who was stabbed in the back, then run over by the same train. Him and Kevin both were likely killed as they were spotted by watchers and assumed they saw the Mena drop zone. Number 60, John Jones, Julian Assange's lawyer. This is April 20th of 2016, just about a year ago. Working to help Julian avoid being extradited to the United States, mysteriously and allegedly jumped in front of a commuter train in the UK. A country with more surveillance cameras than any in the world. Somehow, they have no video of this. And let me remind you, folks, that even in this administration, the Trump administration, Pompeo has come out, Sessions has come out, and said that they want Julian Assange extradited. It is this guy that has been fighting fighting all along to keep Julian Assange from being extradited. So wouldn't it be convenient to just push this guy in front of a train? Not saying he did, but it's highly likely. Couldn't rule it out, folks. Number 61. Now, this one's an interesting one because there was a video that was done by John Hankey. I've had John Hankey on my show three or four times in the past. Nice guy. He lives in California. He's a teacher. John F. Kennedy Jr.'s Piper Saratoga crashed off Martha's Vineyard, as we all recall, in 1999, I believe it was, and all the mainstream media reports were distorted and outright faked. I've got a whole lot more on this. I could talk for hours on just this one. But John was getting ready to announce his run for New York Senator, a position at the time being sought by Hillary Clinton. And Hillary knew if John would run, he would no doubt win. Now, as a pilot, myself being, and reviewing volumes of information on this case, I will attest that the reports issued regarding what happened in this crash are totally ludicrous. That, folks, is a show in itself, and I may very well do one. But John Hankey did a documentary on this very subject, and in it, his evidence points towards George W. Bush. But then George W. has been quoted as calling Hillary his, quote, sister-in-law. And with those two, it could be said that, well, it all runs in the family. Number 62, Jordan Kellison, a witness to the train deaths, who was found shot to death in the front seat of his pickup truck. And number 63, there's the music. We're going to take a break. I'll be back in three. Stick around on the other side, folks. I'm going to talk about more of these when we get back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you from the Valley of the Sun. And, you know, I want to remind you, Charlie Manson is serving life in prison. Charlie Manson never killed anybody. He never pulled a knife, never pulled a trigger, you know. And wouldn't it kind of stand to reason that with this amount of people, there would be some evidence somewhere that would tie these two to these individual deaths? I mean, they had to have a lot of people covering for them, folks. So, Yes, Jordan Kellerson, a witness to the train deaths, was also found shot to death in the front seat of his pickup truck. And number three, Johnny Franklin Lawhon, Jr., the son of John Franklin Lawhon, Sr., who found... Jordan Kellerson? Jordan Kellerson, a witness to the train... Now I'm getting a feedback here. A witness to the train deaths who was found shot to death in the front seat of his pickup truck, and Johnny Franklin Lawhon, Jr., the son of John Franklin Lawhon, Sr., who found a box of documents proving that the Clintons were connected to the Whitewater scandal and the Madison Guarantee scandal and the $27,000 check made out to Bill Clinton. I mean, there's some evidence right there for you, folks. Lawhon, Jr. died when his car hit a phone pole at a high rate of speed, much like Michael Hastings' death. Yet, this goes as a suicide? Or it goes as an accident? Give me a break here. Who is behind this? And at the time, it certainly wasn't the fixer, the choker, i.e. James Comey, but number 64, Sean Lucas, who went to the DNC to serve legal papers. Do you remember that last year, folks? To serve legal papers on behalf of the Bernie Sanders supporters for their corruption against Bernie Sanders and conniving Hillary to be the DNC candidate. He went to serve, guess who? Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who would end up having to resign because of this. And this was before Assange dropped the WikiLeaks bombshells. Now, Sean was found dead in his apartment. And despite being in perfect health, according to his girlfriend, he was in perfect health. And because he died, he wasn't able to testify or defend the paperwork when the DNC claimed he didn't serve the papers properly. How convenient for Hillary Clinton. Do you just want to hurl yet? He didn't serve the papers properly, and he was dead, so he couldn't argue the fact. Number 65, Mary Katie Mahoney, a 25-year-old White House intern. She was shot 5 times, execution style, by a pistol, likely with a silencer attached. Killed with her was Starbucks co-staff worker Aaron Goodrich, who was only 18 years old. And Emory S. Evans, 25 years old. Now, again, while I'm reading these off to you, folks, I want you to think about this for a minute. Now, I just gave you one just a couple ago, the $27,000 check made out to Bill Clinton, okay? I mean, there's an attachment. There's some evidence. But listen to this one. Aaron Goodrich, Mary Katie Mahoney, and Emory Evans. Mary was a 25-year-old intern. Do I hear the music coming up? Yes, I do. All right, I'm going to save this one for after the top of the hour, because this one's very interesting. I'm going to get through most of these. I'll open up the phone lines, but not right now, folks, because I want to dig into this a little bit further, and I want you to think about this with your methodical investigative mind. Be right back.
A price, and I'll keep paying.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extendivite.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.